Okay, so I've got the, I just thought I'd share with you, because originally I was going to share about the 12 disciples, and then I thought, oh, I've only got 20 minutes, that's going to take a while. So I chose one disciple, and I'll mention his name a bit later, but I just wanted to clarify, if you read Mark and Luke, you'll notice that there's 12 disciples there, but the guys that have highlighted in red there, Thaddeus and Judas, just to save some confusion, I don't want you to turn to Mark and go, oh, but there's a different dude in there than what there is in Luke. They're the same guy. So you all know me as Jupes, but my real name, for those of you that don't know, is actually Michael. Okay? So, Michael, we are. So Judas also goes by the name of Thaddeus. Okay, so just to give you guys some useful information there in case you get a little bit confused who that new dude is. Okay, so I'm going to be talking about Simon Peter. Okay. So just a background about Simon Peter. Simon Peter is also known as Simon, obviously. He goes by the name of Simon Peter or Cephas. Cephas Rock is the name that Jesus gave Simon when he met him for the very first time. I didn't know this. I only learned this when I was doing my preach, getting it together, that Simon was the only married disciple out of the 12 disciples. Did you know that? Lucky man. One of the first disciples to be called by Jesus, he was called by his brother Andrew to come and see Jesus for the very first time, but we'll get into that later. He was a fisherman, so he's my kind of guy. A lot of people in this room that love their fishing would love Simon. He was, forgive my my pronunciation here, originally from Bethsaida, which means house of fish, and that was located around the Sea of Galilee. Peter, Simon, James, and John were partners in a fishing business. Did you know that? Okay. So that's the Sea of Galilee. Sorry, it's so small. I'm not sure if it's to scale, but just some interesting information as so you all know where they fished and how big the Sea of Galilee actually was. I didn't realize it was this big. It's 21 kilometers long from top to bottom, north to south. And from east to west, it's roughly 13 kilometers wide and 43 meters deep. So lots of fish to be found in those days in the Sea of Galilee. They caught usually between 18 and 37 different types of species. But the three main fish that they sold was St. Peter's fish, which we know today as tilapia. They caught carp and catfish. Now the catfish was sold to the Greek community because the Jews considered it unclean. So rather than it go to waste, they travel over to where the Greek community was and sell it there just so they've got a few extra bucks. Fishermen in the Sea of Galilee were like any tradie that you would meet today. I'd say like most tradies, you get tradies like me who love God, and then you get some tradies who are just tradies, okay? We've got a few tradies working next door to us, and they're very rough-tongued, and That's how the fishermen were. They were very rough-tongued. They were foul-mouthed. They were like manly men. They were strong, physical men. But they weren't stupid people. They had some sort of education. They, on average, spoke about three different languages, believe it or not, because they had to trade with the people around the Sea of Galilee and sell their fish. So they had to be able to know the language. And they needed to know some sort of maths as well. So when they sold the fish, they would have had to know, okay, well, I'll give you $50. You give me $50. It only costs $10. I'll give you $40 change. They needed to know that sort of stuff. So they were educated. They weren't silly men. They had some sort of education. I want to touch on Luke chapter 5, 1 to 7. But before I get there, I want to give you a bit of background, what happens before we get you. So what happened before this was John the Baptist has been telling everyone that the Messiah is coming. Jesus is coming. So John the Baptist had two disciples. One of them was Simon's brother Andrew, and the other guy, no one's really sure who he was. But anyway, they see Jesus walking up the hill after the Spirit descended over him, and he's walking up the hill, and then everyone's amazed. Jesus walking up, so Andrew starts to follow him. So Andrew follows him and says, hey, Jesus, where are you going? So Jesus is like, hey, come with me and find out. So anyway, I don't really know where they went, but they hung out with Jesus till 10 o'clock in the morning. And then Andrew was like, I've got to get my brother Simon. I've got to tell my brother Simon that Jesus is here. So he goes and he fetches his brother Simon. So Simon comes over, Andrew comes over and says, hey, bro, the Jesus, the Messiah, the one John the Baptist has been preaching about the whole time, the one I kept telling you about, he's here. Do you want to come and meet him? So they go off, and he's like, hey, Jesus, this is my brother, Simon. And he's like, you will be called Cephas. Can you imagine putting yourself in Simon's shoes? Like, you hear about the Messiah, you've never seen him before. Now, all of a sudden, this could be the Messiah that John the Baptist has been preaching about for ages. But you're not really sure. But the first thing he says to you is, you will be called Cephas, which means rock. I can put myself in his shoes, and I know that if this is the Messiah and he says that to me, I'll be like, oh, I like this guy. This guy's cool. I'm the rock. Did you hear that, Andrew? I'm the rock. So from there, we know that Simon Peter was married because after that, they go to Simon's mother-in-law. And she got a really bad fever, and Jesus comes along, and he says, just relax, takes her fever away. So Simon's like, well, called me rock, and he healed my mother-in-law. That's cool. We'll just cut that out of the recording. So he's like, oh, well, the Messiah thinks I'm the rock. That's cool. He's healed my grandmother. So now he's very curious. He's like, wow, this could actually be the Messiah. This could be, but it could also be a coincidence. So anyway, he's curious now. So anyway, he goes out fishing the whole night and they caught nothing. Not even a single fish. And then Jesus comes along. I'm not going to jump too far ahead. If you want to follow with me, Luke chapter 5, 1 to 7. So all that's happened before, okay? So he's healed his grandmother, he's called him the rock, he's chuffed, he's curious. And this is where we come into this, Luke chapter 5, 1 to 7. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Now, they were washing their nets because they had toiled the whole night. They had caught nothing, so they're basically washing their nets, getting ready for the next night's fishing. Notice how it says, while the crowd was pressing in on him. So by that time, there must have been, like, people love to gossip. So you can imagine, everybody knows about what Jesus is doing, and word has started to spread, and there's a crowd gathering. So getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's boat, he asked him to put out a little from the land. Again, put yourself in Simon's shoes. You've been fishing the whole night. Didn't catch a single fish. Jesus sees you cleaning your nets, and he says, hey, Simon, don't you want to just help me out? I just want to preach to these people over here. They're getting a bit close, and I don't want anyone to miss what I have to say. So don't you want to just take me in your boat? We'll just go out a little bit so everyone can hear what I have to say. Man, I would have been exhausted. I've been like, are you serious? I've just been up the whole night. I've got to clean my nets, and then I've got to go home and sleep so that I can get ready for tomorrow night's fishing. But because he called him rock and he encouraged him, he gave him an identity, then he saw his mother-in-law healed of a fever. So he's like, okay, well, let's see what happens next. So where are we? So he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. So Simon must have been thinking at this stage, Jesus, dude's a carpenter. What does he know about fishing? He wants me to go fish in the day. Like, does he not know that we catch fish during the evening? Like, it's so much easier. Why would I waste my time in the day if I can't even catch them at night? And I'm tired. I'm exhausted. But whatever Jesus said, because if we read on, he says, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. So he's like telling Jesus, hey, listen, I'm tired, man. So, but at your word, I'll let down the net. So whatever Jesus said from that boat must have really impacted him. Jesus must have said something to motivate him to actually do what was contrary to his profession. So his being a fisherman, you don't go fishing in the day in the Sea of Galilee. because you've got far less chance of catching fish. That's why you go at night. But something Jesus said on that boat resonated with Simon, which is why he was like, okay, but at your word, I will let down the nets. Read on. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. So remember that picture I showed you guys in the beginning? So they enclosed a large number of fish that their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners on the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled the boats so that they began to sink. Can you imagine, like, the boats weren't built to catch this many fish because that's not how many fish you ever catch. So it's a miracle. This is like something that's absolutely blown the minds of these guys. They're like, whoa, we're back in business. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. So at this stage, he's like, he called me a rock. He gave me an identity. He healed my grandmother, which was amazing. He preached up a storm. And now he's performed another miracle and given me more fish than I've ever seen in my entire life in one catch. He knew in that moment that this is the Son of God. He knew without a doubt. That's why he fell on his knees and said, Father God, I am a sinful man. Depart from me. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. Excuse me. And so were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. How amazing is that? Very cool. Family, how many of us in the house tonight feel like we have been toiling all night? Maybe we're in a season where we just need something to happen and we need it to happen now. But we aren't seeing results. We're not seeing what we want to see. Things aren't happening the way we know it should in our worldly perspective. I want to encourage you, family, to keep putting the boat out for Jesus. I know we go through some seasons that are long, some seasons that are short, but some seasons that are long, and we've been toiling all night, and Jesus is saying, yeah, but put out the boat, and we don't want to put out the boat. We're tired. We've had enough. It's taking too long. But we know inside Jesus has called us to this thing. So I want to encourage you, family, if God's called you to something, keep putting out the boat for Jesus. And when you put out the boat, don't take a nap in the boat. Don't go to sleep. Jesus calls you rock. Jesus heals. Jesus has done something in every individual's life in this room tonight. And you need to remind yourself of the things that God has done for you in your past to encourage you so that you can get through the season of toiling, so that you can put the boat out for Jesus and surround yourself with people that are going to remind you of the greatness of God and what awaits you in the end. Finish the race, family. Listen to what God is saying, and when you least expect it, he'll tell you to cast your nets into the deep and you'll get a catch bigger than you've ever imagined. Next slide. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Now, I chose it from the Message Bible just because it just, I don't know, it just puts such a great spin on it. It says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do and everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. In other words, don't start to make your own plans when things aren't happening fast enough. Don't start to put things in place and have a plan B. If God's called you to it, just remember Simon Peter trusted, and man, they were back in business after that. And they didn't even decide to go into business after that. Even though they had all these fish, they could have just said, oh man, this is going to make us rich. Imagine what we can do with all this money. They left everything and they followed Jesus. They forgot about the fish. They just left everything and followed Jesus. Peter left everything behind to follow Jesus. Now, husbands and wives, before I carry on, if you've had a bit of a fight or a tiff on the way to church, this isn't an excuse to send your husband away on a missions trip so that he never comes back, okay? Because we know Simon Peter was married, but just to explain myself, so World War I, World War II, soldiers went away. They fought the fight for their country with every intention to return home to their families, okay? So if God is calling you and for a season you need to go to Thailand, but that doesn't involve your wife, then I want to tell you, you are coming back to your wife one day. That's not an excuse to stay away, okay? Just an interesting fact. I'm just going to skip ahead real quick. Simon Peter actually knew how he was going to die in the end, which is a scary fact. How many people in this room want to actually know how they're going to die? I don't want to know how I'm going to die. But if we read John 21:18, Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Now, church history tells us that he was crucified on a cross and he was crucified upside down because he was not worthy of being crucified the same way as Jesus. So if we look at the Scottish flag, apparently that's how he was crucified. And apparently that's where Scotland got their flag from. Interesting fact. Okay, so Peter left everything to follow Jesus. Leaving everything to follow Jesus does not mean you need to impoverish yourself. I just wanted to put that out there. It doesn't mean that you need to sell your house. It doesn't mean that you need to give all your savings away. It just means that you need to detach yourself from earthly ties. Okay? If you own a house, consider it the Lord's possession to be used for His glory. If you own a car, make it readily available for God's work. If you have a job, work with diligence and integrity as though God is your boss and He is always watching. If you have money, whether it's a lot of money or just a few dollars, be generous. Christy brought a great message. Where is she? She's gone. Oh, there she is. Christy brought a great message. I didn't get to hear that message, but I heard her kind of mumbling in the lounge and whatever while I was working with my PowerPoint. And when she brought it, I was like, wow, that was powerful. So be generous and don't treat it as your own in accordance with His divine will, because it's all His anyway. If you're married, love and honor your spouse. Promote heaven as your mutual destination. If you have kids, teach them the ways of the Lord so they do not depart from it. And if you are lucky enough to have parents in this world today, make sure that they are well respected and cared for. I just want to, in closing, leave you with this. And if the worship team can come up and we'll sing one more song. I came across this when I was going through Pinterest. I was actually looking for another scripture that I could chuck up here. And then I came across this and it says, if you were accused of being a Christian and you were placed in front of a jury, would there be enough evidence to convict you? That hit me like a ton of bricks. Do I believe I'm going to heaven? Absolutely. But I just wanted to encourage you guys with that. I want you guys to live to the fullness that God has given you. God has sent His Son to die for us, to go on the cross for us, to die. Jesus came. He gave us a great example through Simon Peter. And it wasn't until I unpacked it that I was like, wow, this is amazing. Can I encourage you guys, when you get into the Word, whenever you do it, unpack it. Go and dig and dig. It's like an endless pit of knowledge in the Bible. It truly is. And I just want to encourage everyone here tonight that if you've been toiling all night, I just want to encourage you. Just remember Simon Peter. Just remember how God came through for him. It's a beautiful story. And I really hope that every individual was encouraged in the house tonight. I love you guys. Bless you.